moments of disillusionment? How do we express our anger and frustration? The Psalms of disorientation lead us into raw, honest emotion of the moment. They give us permission to express our deepest feelings. Welcome to Common Prayer.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome back to Common Prayer for Wednesday, April 22nd. Man, I don't know about you. I woke up a little extra tired today. You know, it's one of those Tuesdays around CBC is big meeting days. And so I was just in Zoom meeting after Zoom meeting. And I can assure you that Zoom fatigue is every bit as real as people talk about it. I don't know what your work life looks like, but if you are sitting in front of a computer screen taking these Zoom meetings day after day after day, I salute you. It is tiring, and we are continuing to trudge on into whatever week it is of this shelter in place, but grateful again for this community to be praying alongside one another. I'm so grateful that you would tune in. Well, today we want to continue looking at this. You know, all week we've been looking at the Psalms, and in particular the way that Walter Brueggemann, Old Testament theologian, categorizes them as Psalms of orientation, disorientation, and new orientation. And so for the past few days, we've been looking at Psalms of orientation, and now I want to transition us to talk about Psalms of disorientation. And in some ways, these really mark the moment we're in. This idea of being disoriented just seems so familiar to us right now, as our world has really been flipped upside down. And, you know, one of the things that I love about the book of Psalms is, again, their raw honesty, and that for all of those Psalms of orientation, you know, if the book of Psalms was only left with Psalms of orientation, it would really feel disjointed to the actual human experience. You know, if Psalms of orientation focus on equilibrium and coherence and symmetry and wholeness, Psalms of disorientation recognize, rather honestly, that life is just is almost like savagely marked by disequilibrium, incoherence, asymmetry. I mean, all of these things that we feel in this moment. And so in some ways, the Psalms of disorientation help round out the book of Psalms, because it helps to communicate to the fullness of human experience. You know, I think it's interesting, though, because so much of my own experience, and even the psalm we're going to look at today, I hesitated to use over and over, because the Psalms of disorientation can really take us to some pretty dark spaces of the human experience. You know, when we start talking about this sort of disequilibrium, we really like to avoid those. Like, everything in us wants to suppress these things. We like to drop into a little bit more of like a numb denial, and even like a deception that life can be this disorienting. And so in some ways, like, you know, as a community, as we approach these Psalms of disorientation, it's really hard, because we tend to gravitate to strength after strength after strength, good thing after good thing after good thing. And those certainly have their moments, and they're important that we come out of that. And again, that's where the Psalms of new orientation, where we'll get towards the end of this week, will bring us the surprising return to orientation. But in some ways, we have to really change the way we view our faith in almost like a different sort of God, right? A God that is present in and participating in, maybe attentive to that sort of darkness and weakness and the displacement of these Psalms of disorientation. And so we shift from our mode of thinking of God as just the one of the good times, and recognize that often when we are in those disorienting moments, it's not that God just snatches us out of them, but rather it's the promise of presence within them. It's the promise of presence within the darkness, that he is participating with us in that sort of difficult moments. And so in some ways, I think we intuitively kind of avoid these psalms because, to be honest, they really kind of lead us towards this dangerous acknowledgement that life really is difficult, that pain really is real, that coronavirus happens, that shelter in place for weeks on weeks on weeks happens. And so in some ways, these psalms kind of force us into the dangerous reality of how life actually is. But they don't leave us there. And again, I think that's important for us to note, is they lead us into those spaces with the presence of God there as well. So it's really important, I think, that we hold that. It embraces the darkness as the very thing that helps bring about new life. That God somehow in all of this is cultivating the disorienting moments to bring about a new type of life. Again, I think these just so resonate with us in this time because, man, if I'm honest, Tuesday was difficult for me. It was just not a great day for no particular reason other than I was just off. I could just sense it in my soul. I could sense it in my heart. I was shorter with my kids. I was a little more snappy to my wife, and it just felt off. And there was a lot of praying and a lot of apologizing and all those things, just trying to kind of get through the moment, because again, life has been disorienting and these brought us face to face. So what I want to do is this morning, we're going to look at Psalm 137. And Psalm 137, like I mentioned earlier, I really hesitated to use this psalm because it's pretty dark. It's one of the few psalms that we know comes out of a specific historical moment or an explicit historical moment. And it comes out right after the people of God have been pulled into exile under Babylonian rule. And what you get in this psalm is this incredible raw emotion. That honestly is at times, it ends with an imagery that's really difficult to wrestle with. And I really hesitated to use this psalm for that reason. And so, the psalm ends with this, happy is the one who seizes your infants and dashes them against the rocks. I mean, it's this moment of really, really dark despair. But again, you have to imagine as the Israelites, they've been pulled from their homeland, they've been ripped from everything they know, placed under exile, and their whole way of life has been torn out from under them, and they're angry. And so what really tipped the scales for me to use this psalm was the fact that, life is disorienting at times, and it doesn't justify these sorts of things, but rather by this being included in the psalms, it validates the experience and the emotion of it. One of a few logistical things is we have no evidence that the author of the psalm actually ever carried out those actions. I think they would even denounce them, but it speaks to, again, that raw human emotion of it all. So as we do our Lectio Divina today for this psalm, I want you just to kind of, again, continue and resonate with that thought that life is difficult and sometimes I am angry and I'm frustrated and these can be valid prayers. So let's begin. So as you begin, I want you, as we do every time, just begin to prepare to meet with God and do so through just slowing your mind and slowing your heart down. And begin to recognize that God is with you. He's present. Maybe as you continue to prepare, invite the Holy Spirit to just guide this time. Invite the Holy Spirit to guide your thinking and your feeling as we listen to this psalm. So now as I read the passage this first time, again, I want you just to allow the words to wash over you. And maybe let your heart and your mind be drawn to a particular word or phrase, but just hold it before God. Don't do anything with it. But this is Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplars, we hung our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs, our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, "Sing us one of the songs of Zion." How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? If I forget you, Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill. May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you, if I do not consider Jerusalem my highest joy. Remember, Lord, what the Edomites did on the day Jerusalem fell. Tear it down, they cried, tear it down to the foundations. Daughter Babylon, doomed to destruction, happy is the one who repays you according to what you have done to us. Happy is the one who seizes your infants and dashes them against the rocks. So again, take a moment and just sit with a word or a phrase that came to mind and just hold that before the Holy Spirit. now as I read this psalm a second time. I want you to again hold that word or phrase that your mind or your heart is drawn to. I want you to maybe reflect on it a little more personally. What is it that the Holy Spirit is communicating to you? Why is it that you've been drawn to this particular word or phrase? By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplars, we hung our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, "Sing us one of the songs of Zion." How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? If I forget you, Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill. May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not remember you, if I do not consider Jerusalem my highest joy. Remember, Lord, when the Edomites, what the Edomites did on the day Jerusalem fell. Tear it down, they cried. Tear it down to its foundations. Daughter Babylon, doomed to destruction. Happy is the one who repays you according to what you have done to us. Happy is the one who seizes your infants and dashes them against the rocks. Again, what is it that the Holy Spirit is calling you to? What is the word or phrase that is maybe indicative of the way you're feeling beneath the surface? So much of this psalm is about what has been lost as they find themselves in exile. What is it that you have lost? That you're feeling that pain, feeling that deep longing for return. As I read this text one more time, I want you just to begin to dialogue with God. Come face to face with the disorientation. Come face to face with the disequilibrium, with the asymmetry of the moment that doesn't match, that doesn't fit. And just begin to talk to God about that. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplars, we hung our harps. For there our captors asked us for songs, our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, "Sing us one of the songs of Zion." How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? If I forget you, Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill. May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not remember you, if I do not consider Jerusalem my highest joy. Remember, Lord, what the Edomites did on the day Jerusalem fell. Tear it down, they cried, tear it down to its foundations. Daughter Babylon, doomed to destruction. Happy is the one who repays you according to what you have done to us. Happy is the one who seizes your infants and dashes them against the rocks. So again, as we close, just take a moment and reflect honestly and genuinely to God the disorientation you may be feeling in this moment. And as you do, know that God is with you. He is present alongside you. He's never promised to just remove all circumstances, but he has certainly promised to be with us and to be present in those moments. So, church, may you, in the disorientation, remember that God is with you. He is with you in Babylon, he is with you in exile, and he is most certainly with you in the shelter in place in the quarantine. Amen.
Well, thanks for listening to Common Prayer today. Common Prayer is a ministry of Central Peninsula Church in Foster City and is hosted by our Generations pastor, Kevin Sneed, with original music by myself, Brandon Passion. Be sure to check back every day for new episodes at cpc.org.